Welcome. I'm Angela Murphy. So I would like to now introduce the project manager of the Conscious Aging Pilot Test Program, Kathleen Erickson Freeman. Kathleen, you have a mic.
Okay, great. Thank you so much, Angela, and welcome everyone. We are so honored that you have chosen to give your time and your attention to consider pilot testing the IONS Conscious Aging Workshop with us. We've received over 80 applications representing a wide geographical area and a very diverse number of institutions in healthcare, education, business, religion, senior centers, social service, and other nonprofits, as well as many practitioners who have a private practice and would like to work with this in their practice, as well as volunteers who want to serve their community. So it's a really wonderful, diverse group of interest. Many of you have PhDs or advanced degrees with many years of experience working with seniors and in facilitating groups. And whether you're working inside an institution or in as a private practitioner, we welcome you and express our gratitude for your time and care today. So as we start our program today, I'd like to read something that I think captures the essence of aging. This is from Brother Toby McCarroll of the Starcross community located in Mendocino County in California. And he writes, "A poet I knew many years ago wrote of the wind blowing leaves across his autumn hands. I think that's what I'm experiencing now. I want this earthly paradise of red and golden leaves to continue forever. I want time to stand still, but it doesn't, does it? It is the suddenness that I object to. I am not ready for someone I love to die. I am not ready to stumble along a path where I used to run. I am not ready to witness things I loved be destroyed. I'm not ready to so frequently lose the train of my thought and my sense of direction. Be honest now," shouts the wild wind. "Will you ever be ready? No, that's right. This is not the scene I would have chosen, but it is part of my life, part of each of our lives. So let us open ourselves to whatever blows across our autumn hands." So I love this quotation because it captures the essence of impermanence and change and surrender and the real challenges of aging. A friend of mine attended a conference at Commonweal, which is in Bolinas, California, on end-of-life care. And they talked about that aging is like apprenticing our own disappearance. And that's a little bit hard to do. So what the Conscious Aging Program is about is really helping people to deal with some of these dynamics. And we're going to unpack that in a bit. What we're going to do today is give you an overview of the Conscious Aging Program, talk about the design of the workshops, the lesson content, what our expectations are for the pilots, and what the testers' role and responsibilities are, and also to open it up to your questions in engaging with this material so that by the end of this orientation, hopefully you will have enough information to understand more about the context for this program and the pilot and for you to make an informed decision about whether this is really something that you would like to participate with or not. And at the end of our program, then we'll give you a summary of the next steps in the process. And just to give you a little bit of history, IONS has been translating our decades-long research and education programs in the field of consciousness to the challenges of aging. And in particular, the Conscious Aging Program is built on two of our seminal books, Consciousness and Healing, and Living Deeply, The Art and Practice of Transformation. So those are companion books that go along with this program. And I'd like to just say a little bit about, well, what does conscious aging really mean? I was reading my Omega catalog this morning, and there was a little blurb in there by Debbie Ford. Many of you may know her. She was a pioneer in the area of shadow work, and she recently passed over. And she says in Omega, healing is a state of consciousness. It's a place deep inside where one feels whole and good about themselves and their lives, no matter what's going on. Healing really has nothing to do with being cured. I'll read that again. Healing is a state of consciousness. It's a place deep inside where one feels whole and good about themselves and their lives, no matter what is going on. Healing really has nothing to do with being cured. And I liked this because I thought, you know, that's with aging, we can't cure aging. We can't cure that you're going to get older and perhaps go through a body deterioration process and lose a lot of things that you've built in your life and pass on. We can't cure that. So how do we come to accept that, and how do we come to grips with that, and how do we feel good inside about these things that are happening to us that are very real? And that is what the Conscious Aging Program is about, I would say, is using the tools and the practices of plumbing the depths of our consciousness and and those thoughts, feelings, and emotions that are just below our consciousness to bring out more compassion, to bring forth more of a sense of wholeness and a sense of integration of one's life. And so we do this by exploring what may be unexamined or self-limiting beliefs, stereotypes, and assumptions about aging so that we can make better, more conscious, and informed choices about our worldviews on aging. We help people to look at how they can be more self-compassionate in their own self-talk. So if you're experiencing symptoms of aging that you might feel like you're more forgetful or clumsy or your emotion is slower, what do we tell ourselves about that? Are there some self-critical messages that are inside of there that are adding to the dimensions of aging? And how can we identify those messages that are self-critical or self-defeating and reframe them in more compassionate ways? We also look at and reflect on our life and see what has given heart and meaning to our lives. Kierkegaard says, life is lived forward, but it's made sense of in the past. So what is that red line that's been coming through our life? And how can we, from a more of a soulful perspective, look at that in review and to see how we can harvest the gifts of our life, the fruits of our lives, and also to answer the question, how then shall we live? We look at how we can enhance connection and reduce isolation from others by understanding our shared humanity in the aging process. And we look at reducing fear and increasing acceptance in the presence of death and dying for ourselves and for our loved ones. So those are some of the sort of the meta ideas of what conscious aging is about. And so for the Institute, over the past 4 years, we've been taking this work in various forms and various programs. We have done a some on-site retreats on the Earthrise campus. We've done some teleseminars where we've interviewed visionaries in the field. We did a telecourse, 8-week telecourse, for ION's members and friends. And we also work to translate our work in a local senior center. And I'd like to talk more about that. And all of these programs now have been sort of weaved together and collectively put into what I would call the new Conscious Aging Facilitator's Guide. I'd like to talk a little bit about the local facility that we worked with and how that program was structured, because it will inform the basic constructs of how we're envisioning these workshops to be. So we partnered, ION's partnered with a wellness committee in a senior retirement center in the San Francisco Bay Area. And they came to us and said that their residents were isolating themselves when they were dealing with challenges of aging. They sometimes felt lonely and disconnected, and that they were feeling bad about the fact that they might be having to walk with a walker or in a wheelchair or having restrictions of aging, and were suffering as a result of it. And could we help with that, help them? And so working with the wellness committee, we came up with a series of topics that we would do workshops on. And we offered, we posted a flyer in the community bulletin boards and opened it up to anyone who wanted to come. We set up these workshops as hour and a half long sessions after dinner. They were done from 7:15 to 8:45. And they were held in a big auditorium. And we would get about 90 people who would come to the programs. And it was just a walk-in basis. And so we would put people into tables of five so that there was an opportunity for small group interaction as well as large group interactions. And I think one of the things that worked especially well is the partnership and the collaboration with the wellness committee, which consisted of a social worker, an activity director, the associate director of the facility, as well as a few other people whose titles I'm not quite sure on, and as well as some residents who had worked in the field of psychology or counseling in their lives and had resonance about these programs. And we would work together to tailor the programs, and they would also act as co-facilitators, sitting at the tables and being co-facilitators at each of the small tables. So we did a series of workshops that were spaced out a couple of weeks to a month apart, and did about six lessons there. So that is a little bit of the idea of the essence of what we envision these workshops to be, in the sense of how we've structured the lessons, although I would say that you could do them for small groups as well. It's not required that you have 90 people. It's really flexible. You could have a large group, and you can have a very small group of just 3 to 5 or 10 to 12 people. Because people sit in small tables of five, it really approximates people having a small group experience at their table, and it can expand to include as many people as you really have a room or a group size for. So what we're going to be doing in the pilot is we're going to be giving each of you about 3 or 4 lessons to pilot test. And I'll talk more about that in just a moment. But what I want to say about that experience is that people really appreciated being able to connect with each other. and to talk about things that were meaningful to them, and to be able to have an intimate conversation with each other. And some people said that, you know, they'd have a lot of social activities, things like bingo or teas or other ways that people come together, but they are primarily socially oriented, and it felt harder for them to have meaningful and intimate conversations. And the wellness committee appreciated being able to truly understand what are the issues that their residents are contending with, and to hear firsthand from their own hearts what it is that is bothering them, or how they're finding solutions to them. I will say that these sessions, though they'll deal with sometimes tender topics, always had a feeling of lightness to them, and often a great deal of humor, as people realize that, hey, we're all dealing with these things, and we can treat these things seriously and tenderly, but also we can bring humor to them. So I've given you a handout. I don't know how many of you have a handout with you in the moment, but in the handout we talk about the desired outcomes for the program, which I just went over a little bit. And also there's a diagram about the workshop key learning principles. And I want to talk about this for a moment because it's also key to understanding the program. We are tapping into what I would call four types of wisdom in these workshops. And that's really key to understanding the design of the programs. Firstly, we are tapping into their inner guidance. So we have activities for self-reflection and attuning inside and listening and being still, and really checking in with our own guidance. We have then guidance from experts. So we have what we call visionary ideas that seed the conversation and give some sound bites of information for people to reflect on and to consider. And then we have the small groups. And so people have the opportunity to hear what other people are experiencing in this subject area, and to have a time to talk and to have others receive their story and to receive the story of others. And lastly, we have collective wisdom. So the harvest of wisdom across the tables. So we hear what all the key themes and the insights of what's happened at all the tables. So there's an alchemy that happens when we're looking at wisdom from these four perspectives that I think really works. And in the last page, the second to the last page of your handout, we have a chart called Workshop Key Components and Agenda Flow. And I'd like to speak to that for a moment. Basically, all of the lessons follow a basic format, which is that it opens up with a welcome and logistics and reviewing the agenda, creating a safe space, and going over any expectations or ground rules, however you refer to them for the group. And we give you some sample ground rules, and you can create your own ground rules in the group. And then we move into an attunement. So we provide a poem or a meditation or a guided meditation that you can read and you can use to open up the group to convene everyone to come together and leave what they've just been doing behind and to come together and cohere. You can use the one that we've given in each lesson, or you can do your own. And then we do what's called a free write, where we give an inspirational statement, and we ask people to write for 5 to 7 minutes. And the room is quiet, and we dim the lights a little bit, and people go inner and think about what they've written. And then they check in with their small group. They share that together. And after they've done that, so after they've attuned as a group, they've reflected inside of themselves, then we share a visionary idea, some visionary ideas, again, based on largely on Ion's books, pulling some key material from them. And that material can be read together, or it can be woven into a lecture, however you would like to do it. Some of you are experts in the field, and you may want to give your own lecture in this topic. So you're free to do that or just to follow whatever's in the lesson. And then there's more self-reflection activities, again, another small group, and then a harvesting to the large group. So this information is, or the workshops are very interactive and very participatory. And the role of the facilitator is to guide that process along. So each of the lessons are designed to stand alone and to be self-contained. So you could just do one lesson and it would be of benefit to people. You can take one lesson and you can work on it for more than one session. There's a lot of material there and there's a lot of ways that you can extend the learning. And we give you some suggestions for how to extend the learning and or how to take it home and do home practices. So there's a lot of flexibility there. This is not designed necessarily, the lessons are not designed necessarily to be done as a series. They, as I say, that they can stand alone. So that is an overview of the design of the workshops. I'd like to now talk about the content of the lessons, and that's on your and the facilitator's guide. I've given you a table of contents in the handout. And this is how the guide is organized. There's an introduction and background, which includes a lot of information about Ion's vision, mission, and the Conscious Aging Program, and our beliefs about consciousness and why consciousness matters, and Ion's consciousness change model. Then we have an overview that's just for facilitators, and that gives you all of the information that you need to prepare yourself to facilitate these lessons. And we have a section then on how to partner with assisted or active senior living facilities to work as we did with the local community here. And then there's the lesson plans. And we have 8 lesson plans, and the topics are self-compassion is lesson 1. Lesson 2 is forgiveness. Lesson 3 is life review. Lesson 4 are transformative practices, which builds on a life review and looks at the practices that have been helpful to us in our transformations of consciousness as we've gone through life. Lesson 5 is Death Makes Life Possible. Lesson 6 is examining the cultural worldviews on death and dying and looking at afterlife cosmologies, the survival of consciousness beyond bodily death, what the research shows on that. Lesson 7 is about surrender. And lesson 8 is creating a new vision of aging. And in that lesson, the participants work on creating an intentionality statement for their aging process. And I have a favored story about that. A colleague at the Institute shared a story with us one time about being involved in an earthquake, a really bad earthquake in California. And he thought he was going to die. He woke up out of a sound sleep. He was in bed, and his bed was flying across the room, and he thought, this is it. I'm going to die. And he had this conscious thought, if I'm going to die, I want to die in a loving place, and he screamed out, "I choose love. I choose love." And, well, he did choose love, and he didn't end up dying, but it was a very profound experience for him that he had this thought. And when I heard that story, I thought, oh, my God, I love that. I want to adopt that for myself if and when I'm in the circumstances of someone's death and dying process. I want it to be in a loving environment and in a loving space, and to hold the container of love even in the presence of something that might potentially be traumatic. And I claimed that for myself without knowing that I was claiming an intention. An intention, I did that. And that was a profound moment for me. And in subsequent situations where I have found myself in situations like that, I was ready. I knew in the moments of intense emotion, that's where I wanted to be. And I was able to connect with that intention. So people work on, in this lesson, looking at those qualities of their life that they want to manifest in their aging and dying process. How do they want to show up? What is their intention? And they spend a great deal of time crafting that down to two sentences, and then actually using that in meditation practice. And so that's the culmination, is a new vision of aging.